Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for listening. Today, I am thrilled to be speaking with Chris and Jen Hudak, the founders of Escapod. This is a company manufacturing some pretty unique off-road teardrop trailers. They are well-known and well-loved for their design, their quality, their rugged nature, and their comfort. Escapod was founded in 2016 and was recently recognized as the 9th fastest growing manufacturing company on the 2022 Inc. 5000 list. Chris and Jen, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Your company has had an incredible story of growth. And I can imagine out of that, there have been some really hard-won lessons learned along the way. So to get us started, Escapod was born from your shared passion for the outdoors. Can you tell us a little bit about Escapod and why you started it?
Sure. Chris always looks to me to answer the storytelling question.
I'm looking at you now, but you can't see me.
I can't see you. You kind of hit on it. Escapod really did come from Chris and my shared love for the outdoors. We're avid mountain bikers and skiers and just all around adventurers. We both grew up camping and backpacking. But as we kind of started growing in our professional careers, our time started getting limited to these weekend adventures. And we just found the hassle of packing up all of your camping gear, trying to make sure you had everything, getting to the camp, setting everything up. It was like we were spending more time setting up camp than we were actually camping and having those fun adventures. So Chris came to me one day and said, I want to build us a teardrop trailer. This was back in 2014, and I didn't even know what a teardrop trailer was at that point. And I didn't even know that he could build things, to be honest, like 6 months into our relationship. But he built us our first one, and it took about 6 months to build that first teardrop. And we started traveling around in it, and it just allowed us to really save time on the setup, get to the places that we wanted to go quicker, and be able to adventure a little harder because we had a comfortable place to sleep at night. We were getting a good night's rest. Weather conditions didn't matter as much. And in that time, we got a lot of attention just driving it around on the road. And in 2016, Chris said that he wanted to turn this into a real business. So we put our heads together and came up with a name, and the rest is proverbial history, I guess.
Incredible. Such a cool story. And we should mention too, the two of you are married, and so you've been leading this company together. What's that like to be working together that way?
It's crazy. Not for the faint of heart. That has been a steep learning curve. I think, you know, in the early phases of the business, it was really the romantic stages. The first year and a half, it was a side hustle. There was very little pressure. If we had customers, great. If we didn't, okay. And so we both got to kind of exercise our unique talents and bring those together and see what could happen. As the company has grown, I think working together got a lot harder. The last few years have been particularly challenging. We both wear a lot of different hats, but we still have our unique strengths. And just figuring out how to make sure communication stays business related and we're not bringing personal into it. The last year and a half, I feel like Chris and I have been in a really good place with that. There's always opportunity to improve upon it. But we're both extremely passionate people. And if we weren't both in this business, I don't think it could work without both of us being in the business, for as hard as it might sometimes be to work with your spouse.
I can only imagine, Chris. What's your side?
Whatever she said.
Yeah, if only it went like that.
No, I think checking yourselves, you know, while we're in the office, to be like, you know, we're working in the business right now. We're not owners. We're not husband, wife. We're CEO and director of marketing. And it's keeping that in check is really smart. And then when you get home, it's the same thing. It's like, you got to drop that hat and wear the husband and wife hat and be able to talk about things other than other than the business, because it really can go 24/7, to be really honest. And, you know, we've got a 2-year-old, and making sure we're present there is really important to us. And it's hard because there are hard days and there are better days.
You mentioned you have a 2-year-old. So I was looking at your story, and you have like active Instagram accounts and such. And Jen, you have a great blog. I was reading your blog, and you share a lot of really great advice, you know, for folks who are, you know, going through just so much change and, you know, starting a family, especially in like the last couple of years. I too have a 2-year-old, so I can fully appreciate the challenges that you all must be experiencing on a day-to-day basis. However, you know, the whole aspect of also, you know, driving this business that has seen such incredible growth, and especially during the pandemic, I mean, so many people were looking to be able to get outdoors and still enjoy their vacations and time away during, you know, such a difficult time. And the RV, you know, the trailers, camping, going adventuring outdoors, that's really an industry that just skyrocketed. So, you know, what has your experience been in terms of the growth that you have seen in your business? Give us a little context, like where you started just a few years ago. It started in 2016, right? Now here in 2022, what are some of the contrasts and the growth that you've seen?
I think the best way to highlight the growth path is to talk a lot about the employees, right? Because, you know, if you talk about revenue per employee, it should be around the same as you grow. And, you know, in 2016, it was me in a 2-car garage in a high-end area of Park City in her, you know, in her mom's garage, right? And that was 2016. Now, if you fast forward to today, we bounce between 70 and 80 employees, right? And that growth curve, it was so extreme. And looking back, you're either working on growing or you're working on like a foundation. It's really hard to work on both. And so that growth, while it is great and it allows you to do a lot of things like hire a general manager and hire a director of sales and those positions that you couldn't afford early on, it really doesn't allow you to stop and build strong foundations. If you do talk about ERP systems, like it wasn't a time where we could slow down and just work on building a strong ERP system, right? We're working on it while we're flying, and that's difficult to do. So the growth is wonderful, but it also causes complications.
Definitely, right. And so you did mention some of the investments from a technology perspective that, you know, a growing company such as yours would have needed to make in order to support that growth. You know, so you mentioned ERP. You know, what are some of the software technologies, digital technologies that you did end up investing in or evaluating and maybe decided to pass on at this point?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the decisions that you've made to support your business from a tech perspective?
It's, you know, it's funny. It's always, we're constantly reevaluating our technology, if you will. You know, there are certain apps that we might choose to use one day because it works for the business. And then if you look in a year, no one's logged into it. And so we're always kind of reevaluating it. But at its base, we have to have a strong ERP system to be able to track our product as it goes through the manufacturing process. We have to have something to track our work instructions. We tend to do that in the technology as well. So we have the shop floor who's able to log into iPads and see work instructions on the fly. It allows us to do revision control so we can release new work instructions to the shop floor as well as quality control checks. And then the technology on the other side, which is like the consumer facing technology, since we're not B2B, we're B2C, we have to handle the consumer technology as well. And so what does it look like to go onto your site and experience a trailer on a website? How do you purchase that trailer? All of that has to be controlled by this technology, and we're constantly reevaluating that.
Yeah, interesting. So when it comes to the shop floor, you know, lot with your workforce logging into iPads, you know, being able to see the work instructions on the fly, that's really interesting. What was it like to choose to invest in that kind of technology and have your team embrace it? Or
yeah, I mean, it's a really big project, right? Like if you're talking about even, I'm sure a lot of people have done this, right? They'll say, okay, you own a Subway, you know, explain how to build a sandwich, right? And that's like the classic example of a work instruction. If you talk about, you know, building a trailer from the ground up that has several thousand individual parts, trying to build a work instruction that's strong enough to guide employees is a difficult thing. And it's an investment, like you said, right? A human investment, obviously a tech investment, but it's key to growing, right? Like you can't have 70 employees all marching in a different direction. You have to have something that guides them. That's that shining star that they're all kind of marching toward. And that is the work instructions. That's the quality control. And for a lot of years of the business, you know, it was first me building trailers and then I taught somebody how to build trailers and you had this like tribal knowledge. But at some point that breaks. Is that 10 employees? Is that 20 employees? You know, who knows? But you've got to really solidify that to shorten the onboarding time of the employees, to be able to ensure the quality remains constant as you do onboard new employees. And it's really, really detrimental to the business if you don't have a strong system.
Yeah. What does your training program look like when you hire somebody new?
It's a really deep pool and you just chuck them in. That's it. You know, you're moving so fast. It's hard to like, I wish we had like, okay, you're going to follow somebody for a week and then you're going to learn and then you're going to show somebody. And you know, I wish it could move that smoothly, but as you're growing so quickly, you're getting people onboarded. And really for us, it's like the number of units that they see. So, you know, if you're like, okay, we build one unit a day, well, in about a week, they should be fully trained. So they're actually working with an operator who's trained in that cell. They're, you know, getting shown how to do it, and then they're doing it, and then they're just taking off and running with it, right? And it's really quick. And that's because we don't have enough time to stop. And in this day and age, it's hard to find employees, and you're always kind of short-staffed, and you're always kind of just, you know, trying to look for somebody, and then they show up, you train them, they leave, and it's just, it's difficult. And it's been difficult for the last, you know, year and a half or so with the employee base.
Chris was talking earlier about how you can grow or you can build a foundation, and it's really hard to do both at the same time. And this is one of those areas that we are kind of doing both at the same time, or we had to do both at the same time, because we did realize that our system was breaking, that we went from that tribal knowledge base suddenly failing us because we didn't have documentation written down clearly enough for people to be able to follow along and have a reference point that after, you know, having that exposure and seeing the whole process through, that they were able to kind of then be a little bit more autonomous because they had these written guides. So that's definitely, yeah, the last 18 months been a big focus, and it's been hard and taken longer to get in place because we were in this massive growth stage. But at the same time, our product is constantly evolving. Our business is constantly evolving. Our manufacturing process is constantly evolving. So even if we had work instructions 18 months ago, they wouldn't be the same thing that we're using today. And I think that's the other piece, is just that continuous evolution of the entire process.
Yeah, interesting. So you mentioned Escapod is not B2B, it's mostly B2C. And you have a website and, you know, a vision for how you wanted consumers to interact and experience Escapod virtually before, you know, investing, making that decision, you know, to purchase. Can you talk a little bit about the kind of experience that you wanted to create on the website, and then maybe some of the technologies that you chose, you know, to enable that?
Yeah. So in 2018, we had two partners join us, Chris Eckel and Joshi Fishbein. Joshi is our technology partner. So he's a web developer, a brilliant guy. And he's the one that built Pods, which Chris can talk more about in a little bit. But I think, you know, the vision for the whole customer experience that we have, it doesn't yet exist, but I can share what we're working towards. So Pods is Production Operation Documentation System. So it's our quality control checks. And we have a customer profile with their trailer build in there. And then each process breaks out into all of those quality control steps. The long-term vision for that would be that that would be the one place where we could run the entire organization. And we could give our customers a login where they could come in and they could look at their build, and they could see the history of all of their conversations and the transactions that took place and their initial estimate and their current invoice and their remaining balance, and see where their trailer is in the whole production process. So we kind of have like that first part of the quality control piece. And then there is like each customer has its profile, but we haven't built out this other piece. And that's kind of the fun part. In this world, a lot of our competitors are really boutique builders, and a lot of origin stories are similar to me and Chris's. Someone wanted something that they couldn't find on the market, and they built their own and went from there. But having a partner like Joshi just allows us to imagine a way that we can really elevate the entire experience. And at this point, we are building a premium product, and we want to make sure that that premium experience is full circle.
That is so cool, because I could imagine with your type of brand that being a part of that process of, you know, if I, for example, were to work with you to design a build or something, I would definitely, as a consumer, want to be a part of the process and see it happen and see it come together, because it's just so unique and personalized to me. So that's a really neat, unique experience that I see you working towards. Would you then connect that full sort of like single source of truth, right, through to the manufacturing floor?
Yeah, that would be the goal. And I think, you know, I might be skipping ahead a little bit in terms of some of the challenges. But one of the things as we've grown is that we just end up with so many different platforms that we have so many redundancies in places, and it makes it really easy for a mistake to be made because there's so many manual entries that have to be repeated from one platform to the next. So the goal with that pod system is that it's going to pull in. So whatever we're using as our POS, when a customer initially places their order, that's going to pull in directly into pods, and then it can push out onto the production floor to say, this is what you need to build, and hopefully can sync with our ERP and all of that. So we have everything kind of controlled and managed through one system. But that needs to be custom built, because no one else can build something that would serve all of the unique ways in which we need to operate our business.
This is really exciting. So when you are charting this kind of vision, what are some of the ways in which you would measure success? You know, what are some of the metrics or the key performance indicators that you would look towards achieving?
I think focusing on throughput has, you know, obviously been for manufacturing a really good way to manage success, right? At the end of the day, if you're using technology and it's causing the throughput to drop, right, because it's cumbersome for the floor or because it's inaccurate or whatever the case is, you've kind of failed, right? Like, technology is supposed to streamline the operation. And in our case, manufacturing is throughput. And if you could figure a way to make it helpful to really increase the quality on the floor, and so there's like less post work or less warranty problems, then that's a really good way to manage success for us. You know, if you talk about, you know, on the sales front, a customer going in and using the website, if it's easy to use, if it's intuitive, if it's fun, then you sell more trailers. And that's a really great way to measure that. And so the KPIs for those are just, is it effective? And sometimes the answer is no. And that's why we get rid of some technologies, because let's say there are some office chatting technologies that become more of a place to share gifts instead of get work done, right? And that's like, okay, we need to get rid of that.
Right.
You guys could probably all guess which one I'm talking about.
Yes. Yep. I think we can. Interesting. Okay. So I know I'm just thinking about your story and this incredible growth that you've been through. So, you know, going from the two employees, the two of you, to 70 plus, you know, what have been some of the most critical investments, would you say, that you've made along the way? Like, what has really made a difference?
Good people. As you really grow and you start to have income and you start to have real revenue and you start to like be able to afford higher level positions that can help you guide the business. We talked a little bit, like as of this year, we have a general manager, and that allows me as a CEO to really get ahead of the changing markets and the things that Escapod's going to do in the future, and allows a GM to run the business. And, you know, that was, we couldn't imagine that in 2016, that someone else was going to run the shop floor like the way he is. But he's allowed to really take ownership of that. And that's what growth has allowed. And that investment in the people has been unreal.
You know, every time I speak with business leaders such as yourselves, it's so fascinating the way every time these conversations come to the importance of people, having the right team members, empowering people, making sure that they have the right tools to do, you know, their job on a day-to-day basis to be successful. It always comes down to people, you know, so I love that you said that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, tech is great and that makes our jobs easier, but that's never going to replace like a really smart person.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
I just read I'm going to do a terrible job with the quote, but basically the quote basically said is that, you know, tech can take care of the process and it allows the humans to be human. So when we need to make decisions, we can do so. And tech allows us to do that, right? So it takes the things that are rote and that we don't need to think about and allows us to focus on the things that we really do need to think about.
So true. So true. What are some of the ways in which you celebrate the people that you work with? I'm kind of thinking like, you know, the ways that you make sure that your team members feel rewarded, part of a community, maybe even thinking outside of your employee base, you know, the community in which you are a part of. You're based in Colville, Utah, right? And manufacturing in the US. Yeah. What are some of the ways in which you celebrate your employees?
This is one that has kind of evolved and grown over the years as well, because some of our early practices have become more challenging as we've gotten bigger. One thing that is really important to us around the holidays is that every person on our team gets a handwritten card with specific callouts to what makes them special and unique and why we value them being on our team. I think people often think of like holidays and gift giving and bonuses and that type of thing, when really people do want to just feel appreciated and seen more than anything. And as we continue to grow, I think that's going to be more and more important, is making sure that these people feel like they are still individuals in our organization and can contribute as an individual. We also have, you know, one of the things that made a huge difference in our organization was hiring an HR manager, because that allowed me to sort of focus on the things that I'm stronger at, and allowed our people to actually have a dedicated resource to support them. You know, if our people aren't doing well outside of here, they're not going to do well in here. So having dedicated HR, especially as a small business, I think our HR manager just hit her 1 year mark. So we hired her when we were at 45 employees and I was managing HR, and it was like, it was too much for me to do all of that and do all of my other things in terms of sales and marketing. And that was important, not just for me and my bandwidth, but for our people to make sure that they had a resource dedicated to them. We've recently started an employee committee. So they are working on different events. You mentioned we're in Colville, it's a town of 1,700 people. The employee committee pulled together and we were just in the light parade this past weekend. So they wrapped a trailer full of Christmas lights and towed it down the road in the parade, which was pretty fun. They turned it into Santa's sleigh.
I love that.
That type of thing, just making sure there's opportunity for people to connect. We used to do annual camping trips with the whole team, and we would be able to bring our rental fleet down to the desert. And once we were more than like 20 people, that just became really, really, really challenging. So I'd love to find a way that we can do something like that again. But at 70 people, it's a little hard right now.
I can imagine. Wow, that's great though. I love that you have that special focus, you know, on the people. That makes, I'm sure, a real difference in everyone's lives. That's great. Okay, so I think we've kind of talked about this, but for any other, you know, fellow entrepreneurs out there or manufacturing leaders who maybe want to modernize their technology, they want to take their business, their manufacturing business to the next level, what advice would you share with them?
In terms of technology specifically, I would say to try to have an open mind and do a lot of research before you commit to one specific solution. Good salespeople are good salespeople, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the product is what they are selling to you. We've definitely been blindsided before, where I have asked very specific questions about what something's capable of, only to find out that it's not quite what they said it was going to be. And now we're locked in for a year contract and we kind of have to run it through and figure it out and make the most of it. Accounting software is another one where I feel like every year we're doing something slightly different and constantly learning. Just take your time in the research phase and really understand what problem you're trying to solve before you commit to one solution. That would be my biggest piece of advice.
I think kind of backing off of that, you know, or piggybacking off that, I should say, is, you know, when you sit down for your, you know, your yearly planning, and maybe you're talking about a software solution or solutions for some problem that you're having, you maybe have a revenue number in mind of like, okay, this year we're going to reach X amount of revenue. I would highly encourage you to take a look at that revenue number and double it and then find a solution, right? Because what happens is as you start to really grow, like your growth curve just gets steeper and steeper and steeper. And then all of a sudden you're running into, you know, oh shoot, we just talked about our ERP system last year, and we just went through this process, or we just went through this process of accounting systems last year. And so if you take your revenue number that you think you're going to build to and then double it, that gives you a little bit more runway to work with the system. And like Jen said, you know, really evaluate what items you need and what your process looks like and make sure that the system works for that. And then just be fluid, right? Like, you're not going to be the same business you thought you were going to be. And so we all wish we could make perfect decisions on the first go round, but we obviously make mistakes and things change, and you got to be fluid enough to change with them so you can grow effectively.
Great feedback, great advice. I think both of you, I mean, really honed in on some pretty specific feedback or thoughts for other business leaders. Stay flexible. Look for technology partners who are transparent, that will be clear with you about the types of functionality. Know where your business is going. Plan for potentially even more so that you can really invest in something that's going to work for you now, but also in the future. And through all of that, stay focused on the people and those team members that are so critical to your success and absolutely imperative to a manufacturing organization, regardless of what technology that you invest in.
Yeah, you just told me that. It's all pretty easy to do this, right?
Right. No problem.
That's it.
So easy. So easy. So, you know, as we are kind of wrapping up, would you share a little bit about what makes Escapod really special and where, you know, people could find more information about the both of you and Escapod specifically?
What makes Escapod special? So Chris talked about the importance of people before, and I do think people is a key part of what makes Escapod special. The partnership that Chris and I have with our two other partners, Joshi and Chris Eckel, is really special. We all bring unique skill sets and have really healthy conflict, if that makes sense. And what that leads to is that we're each able to kind of poke holes in the other person's concept and then improve upon that concept. And you see that ripple through our product. We all have really high standards. So the product that we design, we're not cutting corners. We're really trying to make this the best trailer on the market, the best damn camper known to man. And we do that in every area. It's not just about how something looks, but about how intuitive it is when you're using it and how seamlessly it kind of folds into the organic way you'd be using this trailer in the first place, and making sure that all the functionality is there and that you're not limited by weather conditions. But that all comes from people who really care about doing something right and doing something well.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And where can people learn more about you both and Escapod?
Well, you can learn about Escapod on our website. That's escapod.us. We also have an Instagram. We're pretty active on there. And then for Chris and I, we're both on Instagram as well. And I think it's just our first and last name. So Chris Hudak and Jen Hudak on Instagram.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to Chris. Thank you to Jen, founders of Escapod. Your leadership, your creativity, your commitment to pursuing your passion together is truly an inspiration. Thank you again. I really look forward to seeing wherever your adventure leads to next.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.